Well, Dr. Pat Creed has been the Caribbean Director for Baptist International Missions for many years, but for our church, he's always been just simply friend for many years, and maybe friend and encouragement, because he has encouraged this church in our mission program since the beginning, I think. I wasn't there, but I heard the stories. And tonight, Brother Pat is going to encourage us again, so I ask him to come now and preach to us.
June and I always enjoy coming to Claremont, being in this church, and this is one of our very favorite places. I don't know if you noticed, but we're a little older now. And as I look across the auditorium at some faces and some heads of hair, some of you are a little older. June and I celebrated last June 65 years of being married. And we sort of reminded me of this story I heard about this girl that was getting married. And she was at the back of the auditorium getting ready to walk the aisle, and she was so nervous she told her dad he was going to take her up the aisle, said, I don't know if I can make it, said, I am so nervous. I hope I don't fall or something. He said, honey, said, you just, you don't worry, I'll tell you what to do. He said, now as you walk up the aisle, you just keep your eye on the aisle. Just concentrate on the aisle. If you get about halfway up, then you start looking toward the front and just get your concentration on the altar. Think about the altar. Then when you get toward the altar, then you transfer your concentration to him and just concentrate on him. So she started walking up the aisle, and people were sort of puzzled because as she went up the aisle, she was repeating, aisle, altar, him. Aisle, altar, him. I heard that story and I thought about 65 years. June's been saying, I'm still going to altar you. Well, it's great to be here again. Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll start here tonight. And a very familiar place. In Matthew chapter 28, of course, this is one of the accounts of the Great Commission, the command we have to go into all the world. The reason for this conference, to challenge this church again to renew your commitment to go into all the world. And that's what he's commanded us to do, right? In verse 16, the Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. This, when Jesus met with his disciples to give them this final command, it was not an accidental meeting. It was an appointed meeting. It was a planned meeting. And I believe this is a planned meeting tonight. This week is a planned meeting for Open Door Baptist Church, but not just by you and not just by the leaders of the church here, but by God. And then he says in verse 17, and when they had, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, I want us to think about those words, all power is given unto me tonight. The word power here, it's not the same word as Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is dunamis power, dynamite power. The word here has the thought of authority. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples at that time, he's saying this, I'm getting ready to give you some orders. And before I give them, I want you to know that I have the right to give them to you. I have the authority to give them to you. I have all power to tell you what I want you to do. And then he gives them the instructions. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now here's what I want us to think about tonight. I want us to think about the importance of authority. The importance of recognizing authority. The importance of surrendering to authority. Because God has all authority to tell you and to tell me what to do with our lives. He has the right. And it is extremely important that we recognize that. And it is extremely important that we surrender to that thought. Recognizing authority is important. Now, we wouldn't want to think tonight that we don't respect God's authority. We would say, oh, I have no problem with that. But I'm afraid it's not an easy thing for us. And because it's not an easy thing, because of our nature, then sometimes we are not willing to recognize it. And we're not willing to respect it enough to agree with it. His authority. So let's pray, and we'll talk about that tonight. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your willingness to love us, because that's who you are. And that your willingness to take us as we are, save us, change our lives. And God, I pray tonight that you would just cause us in these few moments we have to be willing to look at your word personally and apply it to our attitudes, our lives, our decision making. Help us not to sit here tonight and play church with you. Act like we believe something that we don't practice. I pray that you would bring great conviction in our hearts and lives tonight where we need it. And I pray that you would draw us, Holy Spirit, to your desire and cause us to leave here tonight taking what you have said to us. Now don't let us sit here and have our minds wander and miss what you want to do in our hearts personally. But help us to listen to you. Now, folks may not listen to me all the time tonight, but I pray that no one would be guilty of not listening to you. Speak to us tonight in a personal way, life-changing way. Draw us to commitment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 7. And I want to look at a story there that we have. And I want us to think about this thought of the importance of authority. The importance of understanding it. The willingness to let God give us understanding from His Word, His presentation of authority, the authority He wants us to recognize and understand. Let's just begin in verse 1 of chapter 7 of Luke, and it says, "Now when He had ended all His sayings," He had just preached to the multitudes, and a very familiar portion there, and He had just finished, and sayings in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto Him, was sick and ready to die. Now this is a servant of the centurion. Centurion, of course, was a leader of a military band. Centurion was rights given to them in the place that they served. They would have at least 100 men serving with them in that particular area. And they had the right to punish people. They went beyond just keeping things in order. They were sort of authoritarians there in a way that they made much demand. And if their demands were not kept, they could put some pretty difficult punishment on people. But this is a different fellow. This seems like a different fellow. Notice what it says about him. He had a servant who was sick, and in verse 3 it says, "And when he heard of Jesus," the centurion heard of Jesus, "he sent unto him the elders of the Jews." Now this is a Gentile. And evidently he had a good relationship with the Jewish leadership there. And so he sends a band of Jews to Jesus. And they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of... back in verse 3. They sent the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. So the Jews go to Jesus and they encourage Jesus to do what the centurion wants in coming and healing his servant. Then in verse 4 it says, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him that he was worthy of whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." Now these Jews are saying about this centurion that has this authority to punish them and do what he wanted to do with them and led order there. And he's saying, hey, he's a good man. He deserves you to come and heal his servant. He has been good to us. He loves us. He even built us a church house. He built us a synagogue where we meet. So this is sort of a different fellow. He is a fellow with a great reputation among the people there. And so this is who we're dealing with. Now in verse 6, notice what it says. "Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now, he sends some more people to Jesus, and he says, now, wait a minute. Really, I don't need you to come because I don't feel I'm really worthy to have you come to my house. Where does authority come from? That needs to be established. Is where does true authority come from? It comes from God. And this fella understands that. He understands where authority comes from. He's a centurion. He's not a Jew that has been brought up listening to about God, learning about God. He is not from the Jewish synagogue. He's not one of God's chosen people. But yet, he declares that he's not worthy of Jesus coming. Now, notice what he says. Look at verse 7. Wherefore, neither though I myself, worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So he says, I'm not worthy for you to come. I know who you are, and I know who I am. He recognized who Jesus was. He recognized, evidently, who he is. And so he says, because of who he knows Christ is and what he knows about himself, he says, I'm really not worthy for you to come to my house, but I understand who you are. I understand your authority because I am a person of authority. I have people that I can say, do this, they do it, come here, they come. So I understand authority because I am a person with authority. And because of that, I understand your authority. So he understands Jesus' authority. Now let's think about God's authority. I want you to, you might, if you look quickly, back in chapter 1 of Genesis, or you might just listen to this verse, chapter 1, verse 26. Let me read it. In Genesis 1, 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. That's authority. That word has the thought of to rule and to reign. Let's let them rule and reign over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Now think about that. God said, let's create man. Let's give them authority. Let's let them have dominion over everything, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man and gave man authority over everything. Gave man the right to rule and reign over everything. You go to the next chapter of Genesis, what happens? The serpent comes. And Adam and Eve give up the authority God gave them to accept the authority of Satan. And when they did, they gave you and they gave me a nature that does not like authority. By nature, we do not like being told what to do. Guilty? Huh? That's our nature. Now, over in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, there's a verse. Romans 5:17, here's what the Bible says. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Same word, rule, to reign. He gives us back the authority in Christ. In Christ. But by nature, we still have that sin nature. We still have trouble listening to that authority. But the thing I want us to get established tonight is that all authority comes from God. He has authority over your life and mine. Now, we believe that. We would agree with the Word of God that. The problem comes when God comes to you and to me and says, I don't want you doing that, I want you doing this. And we don't like to be told what to do. Huh? And that's what Jesus was saying there in Matthew 28. He was saying, listen, I have the right to tell you what to do. I have the authority to tell you, and this is what I want you to do. These are my orders for you. I have the right to give them. You have the responsibility of listening to me. And he said, I want you to take the gospel to the world. That's his orders to us. They are orders from God. That's what this week's about. Hey, you know who has the right to tell us that we ought to be in church? God has the right. Huh? Amen. He has the right to tell every member of Open Door Baptist Church to be here tonight unless it is physically impossible. Right. He has the right to give those orders. The problem is, do we listen? He has the right this week to reach down and to say to you, as a member of this church, this is what I want you to do in missions. Because we know, as we get into the Great Commission, we realize that when he gives us orders to go into all the world, to take the gospel to all the world, he's not saying that we need to go physically into other parts of the world, but he has a plan for that to be carried out. He takes us to Acts and shows us in Acts chapter 11 and chapter 13, that church at Antioch. He gives us as an example the responsibility of the church and the church's function. And that is for missionaries to be called out of the church, missionaries to be approved and sent out of the church as he calls them to go into other parts of the world. And he tells us how that's to be carried out. He has a plan for missions. And then he says to the church, you support them as they go. You give them what's needed for them to function where I've called them. And that ties the church and the missionary together in getting the gospel to the places that God wants all of us to be involved in. He has the authority to put that together. The church doesn't call people, God calls people. But the church has the responsibility to send people. And the church has the responsibility to support people. And it's a biblical responsibility. Now the question is, am I willing to listen to God? Right? Because God's going to reach down in this congregation this week and he's going to say to different people different things. There may be someone sitting here tonight and God already has a plan that he's going to put his call on you for a particular place around the world that he wants you to take the gospel. But you can mark it down. He wants every member of Open Door to give, to support, to help a missionary stay on the field, get on the field, stay on the field. And he's going to speak to every member who will listen. And he's going to give orders. The authority comes from God. Now here's what I want you to see. This is a thrilling thing about what he shows us here in this centurion's life. Notice again, go back again. In verse 7. And he's already told him, you don't have to come. I'm not worthy. And by the way, we're not going to respect authority of God until we come to the place that we realize he is totally worthy. I am absolutely not worthy. It's all God. Right? And then in verse 7 he says, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. You remember he sent the Jews up there first, then he sent another band up there second. He hasn't gone. He didn't even think himself worthy to go. But look at what he says now. Look at what he says. But say in a word. You ought to underline it. Say in a word. That's your authority. You have the authority, and all you have to do is say it. If you just say it, you don't have to come to my house. Just say it. Isn't that something? Wow. He saw the authority of Jesus to the place that he knew Jesus didn't have to be there. All he had to do was say the word. And it would happen. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now why did he say that? Because he says in the next verse, I know who you are, and I know the authority in your word. I know the authority that in you is all you have to do is say it and it'll happen. Because I'm in authority. I have people, I can tell them what I want, they do it. I can tell them where to go and what to, they do it. I know what authority is, and I know your authority is to the place that all you have to do is say it. He said it for us. Huh? This is our authority. He has said things to you and to me that are life-changing, that are amazing. And we say we believe it. That's God. King James Bible, I believe it, every word. It's the Word of God. But we don't act like it sometimes. Huh? And the reason we don't is because we don't understand authority like this man understood authority. We don't accept the authority of God as this man accepted the authority of God. If we really believed and accepted the authority of God the way we say we do, we wouldn't worry near as much as we do. Huh? We wouldn't fret like we do. We would not make up our minds what we're going to do in the conference, knowing what's going to be presented to us. We wouldn't make up our minds before it even starts. We'd say, God, you tell us during the conference what you want me to do this year. Right? You have a right. God, you have a right to tell me this week what you want me to do. You have a right. I believe it. You say it. All you have to do is say it in a word. Because that's what changes lives. Now, here's what I want you to see. This is what I want you to see. I want you to see verse 9. Look at what it says. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. He was amazed. He marveled. At him and turned him around and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He's listening to that centurion. And that centurion says, hey, I'm not worthy to come to you. I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. I know who you are. I know what you are. And I know what I am. If you and I could just get a hold of that, really get a hold of that, huh? We wouldn't think so much of ourselves, would we?
Right.
He said, I know who you are. I know what you are. But if you would just speak the word, if you would just speak the word, my servant would be healed. Jesus turned around to the crowd and he said, I have not seen so great a faith in Israel. Wouldn't you like God to think that of you? Huh? Wouldn't we like to come to a place that God would, if it was just for a moment, just think, I'm really pleasing to him. He's really pleased with me. He looks at me and says, you have great faith. Now, what was he talking about? He was talking about this man's respect, understanding, and willingness to yield to God's authority. Now, what is the power of this authority? What is the power of this authority? The power of this authority is surrender. Because when you and I would come to a place that we surrender to this authority with complete understanding who he is, who I am, his authority, his right to rule in my life, and any rule I have. Now think about this. God gives us everything we have to enjoy. He tells us that, Timothy. He gives us everything. He wants us to enjoy it. The power to enjoy it. Where does that all come from? It comes from surrender. Surrendering everything to him. It's not my house. It's not my car. It's not my job. It's not my bank account. It's not my investment. It's not my retirement. It's not my life. It's God's. He has a right to tell me what to do with every bit of it. What's the power of that? Surrender. Surrender. Surrender to his authority. Because when you surrender to his authority, it eliminates the chaos. Everything's enjoyable. Everything's right. I thought about this, looked at this. I thought about football games. I like to watch college football. Got these football teams, and you have these fellas running around, big old, you know, some of them 300 pounds, muscles. I mean, strength. They try to get enough strength that they can push the guy in front of them out of the way and accomplish what they need to accomplish in the game. And they're running up and down the field, and these big old athletic fellas in this game hitting each other. But then you got these guys in striped shirts running around with fat bellies and out of shape. But the thing about it, they got this little whistle. They're an authority. They blow that whistle, everything stops. And it better stop. Because when they blow the whistle, they mean stop. Stop the game. I have something I need to say. You did wrong. You did right. The ball placed here. They have the authority to say what's done next. And I thought about God. Wonder how many times God in my life wants to blow the whistle. Stop. Stop. If you don't stop, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be penalty. It's not going to work out for you. Stop. Because he has authority to stop my game. He has the authority to stop my life. He has authority. And the thing about it, everything he does is right. Everything he does is good. And I say all that to say this. That's what this week's for. It's a time for God to say, blow the whistle. Let's all stop and listen. Because he has something he wants to tell us. He wants to speak to us this week. And whatever he says, he has the authority to say, because he owns it all. And any authority I have, anything he has given me to be over, involved in, whatever, he has given it to me. And my authority is under his authority. And he has the right to blow the whistle anytime he wants. Are we listening? Are we going to listen? The importance of understanding authority and the importance of surrendering to authority. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us this week just to think about your right to show us what you want us to do. Show us what you have planned for us in this great endeavor of getting the gospel around the world. And whatever you say to us this week, however you speak to our hearts, it's going to be right. It's going to be the best thing for us. But knowing our nature, we're going to wrestle with some things this week. I pray that you would just sort of hover over this church this week and give us comfort in what you say. Give us confidence. Remove the fear. Remove the selfishness. And I pray that you would bless this church. And I pray that you would even be able to look down at this church at the end of this week and say, that's great faith. Great faith. Great faith. And that you're pleased with all that happens. Help us to listen and agree with you.